Interesting what's been happening here. Jesus is really entered into a new dynamic. He's the final week before he's crucified, and things progress between now and the crucifixion fairly rapidly, although we have several chapters we'll be doing to get to the crucifixion. We'll see really the start of the reason why Jesus dies on the cross and the attitude of those that crucify him in chapter 21. And it has to do with authority. Authority. Jesus has authority. He's God. He's creator. He doesn't have to have authority necessarily given to him. He is the authority. However, you know, along the way, people have problems with authority, don't they? I've, you know, been in the ministry a long time, and I've had a lot of dealings with young people and teenagers that are rebellious. And so in counseling or doing research, trying to figure out what's going on in the heart of a teenager who's rebellious and has a problem with, you know, obeying or being respectful or doing the things that they should do or not doing the things they shouldn't do. And so in doing research, I ran onto an article before that taught a really a good lesson on five reasons why young people are rebellious. And all of his reasoning, I thought, was good, you know. Took a biblical approach in explaining it, and I thought it was very good. What really struck me as interesting is when you got to the comment section on a blog, you know, there you can write your article, and then at the bottom, people have the ability to go in and write comments of what they think about your article. And some of the first comments on this guy's article were really interesting. In fact, they were very sad, and maybe I could use the word ridiculous. One comment said, "You know why teenagers have a problem with authority?" This guy said, "It's because they have authority." He said that he thought that if you would just remove authority from a young person's life, then they obviously wouldn't have any trouble with authority and things would be great, right? I'm thinking, you are not thinking very clearly to write something like that. But that's sort of the mentality or the idea about authority today. Really, is the problem isn't that we aren't submissive to the authority. The problem is the authority itself. That's the problem. I was given this morning a report. I don't know if you know, not a report, I guess it would be another article. It's the June the 6th, which is tomorrow, right? Is the 72nd year anniversary of D-Day. Interesting. That, you know, stuff like this we don't really hear a lot about. Isn't that right? But there was a prayer breakfast that was canceled by Fort Riley because of the one who was invited to come and speak and actually do the dedication and the prayer at this prayer breakfast was retired Lieutenant General Boykin. And he was part of the Delta Force, early Delta Force, that, by the way, went in and helped us gain the freedoms that we have today. And you know why they canceled and won't let him speak at this prayer breakfast and pray? Because he has radical Christian views. You know what that means? He believes the Bible. And if you're a Bible believer, there's a problem with that. And so there were many that complained about it. I say many, probably a small amount of people with the loud voices that complained about it and had the whole breakfast canceled because of his views on the Bible. In other words, he believed the Bible, and that's the reasoning. Isn't it amazing whenever you stand up and you say you believe something or you stand for something, not just something, something that has authority? Because the Scripture has authority. Well, we don't want that in our life. And so there's a rejection of that authority because it, you know, it begins to tell us what to do. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do, right? By the way, if you have a problem with authority, that's ultimately what it means, is you don't want anyone to tell you what to do. I have friends in the ministry who are pastors and great guys, good friends, who in their church have had serious problems with this issue of authority. Not them personally, but the church that they pastor has folks in it that have issues with authority. And one particular friend and I had a conversation. We sat down together, and I knew he was having trouble and burdens, but I had no idea really what the details were. He sat down together with, and he opened up his notebook, because the guys in his church, you know, some of the guys got together and said, well, we need to have a meeting with the pastor. And he said, okay. So they had this meeting on an off night in church, and they sat around a table really at the church, and, you know, my friend had his notebook open. He was wanting to take notes because they were going to share their concerns with him about the church and the ministry and things. So as they, you know, began to talk about it, basically they started to really blast him and get on to him about the ministry. And in their frustration about how the ministry was going, and grilling, in the middle of grilling this pastor and asking him questions about why he does this and why he preaches like this and why on that particular day he said this in his message, you know, why did you say that? And it starts to come out, all of these problems they're having with this man of God that I'm referring to, my friend. And he's just writing notes and, you know, just trying to be as honest and humble as he can as he's having the meeting with these guys. And then one of the men did this, began to say this. He started to compare the church to a business. And let me explain to you what he said. I'll do my best to be as clear and honest to the story as I can from what I remember. The man that was sitting at the table across from my friend said, let's consider a business. Can you talk to me about a business for a second? Okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's say that you have a business and you hired a CEO to come in and, you know, sort of do the business. And while he's there for 7 years, by the way, that's how long my friend had been the pastor of the church, but he was there for 7 years. And in his time there, the business basically lost revenue. The money, the income of the business, it started going down. Well, that's a problem. But not just did the money go down since that CEO, you know, whoever he is, because we're not talking about you necessarily. We're just talking about just any CEO out there who's been at a part of a company for 7 years. But not just the revenue has went down, the money, the income, also membership of the business has went down. You know, people don't really like how the CEO runs things, so the members of that particular business who keep it going, right, they're starting to leave, and so, you know, that's a problem too. And by the way, not just are members of that business leaving, there are people that are part of the business, members of the business still today, who have a problem with how that CEO operates. Now let me ask you a question. What would that company do with the CEO? And he open-ended the question, just ended it like that. And my friend's sitting across the desk, and he says, so are you wanting to fire me? I mean, you're throwing the message out here? No. That's not what we're saying at all. We just want to know what you think about this. You know, whenever we start to look at the church like it's a business, then we're going to create these kinds of problems, aren't we? When we think that what makes this church great is how much money we have. Now, I love to, you know, report to you what the offerings are, but listen, that's not what makes a church great. Oh, this church is doing good. Why? Because the offerings were almost in the green. Okay, so that's what makes a church great, huh? Or successful. Or that's a good pastor. Not just is the money going up, but the members, listen to what it was a couple years ago. Look what it is now. Oh, this is a good man of God right here. But these particular guys, as they were talking to my friend, they were not pleased with how the church was going. They were not pleased with the authority that was over them. They were not pleased with the man of God. And so what they started to do is they started to question his methods. They started to question how he operated and, you know, why he said what he said and why he did what he did. And it started to create this, this internal strife, internal turmoil, which, by the way, shredded the church. And this was months ago whenever this happened. And now the church, which was running in the 80s, is barely running in the 30s on Sunday because of this, you know, this internal sort of strife that is taking place, created by some guys who had a problem with the man of God. Sometimes, listen, I need you to just emotionally get attached to this morning. I'm not going to speak to a problem that I'm not on purpose, this, okay? I'm going to speak to a problem that anyone in here that I know of has, okay? So if we touch on a problem you have, let it be from God, because I'm not even thinking about a particular problem that we're having today. But sometimes we have a problem with the man of God. And sometimes when we start to get these problems, wherever they come from whatever is created this problem we have with the man of God, it will cause us to do one thing, and it always starts here, always. We will question his authority. Okay? The temple leaders had a big problem with Jesus. And it opened up in them this problem that they had, opened up in them this feeling, this lack of, you know, wanting to follow the authority of the man of God, of Jesus. So here's what they did. They questioned him. I want you to see it. Look at verse 23. Follow along. We're going to go right through this text. If you don't have a Bible, there should, I'm hopeful, be a Bible in a pew next to you. Try to look on with somebody else. But we are going to go right through this, and you need to follow along, okay? Verse 23. He said, or rather, and when he was come to the temple, that's Jesus, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? So these temple leaders, they had a problem with Jesus, didn't they? They had a problem with his teaching. They had a problem with his practices. And so here's what happened. Jesus is teaching in the temple. He is right in the middle of his lesson, and these guys come in and interrupt it. It says, as he was teaching. So he was right in the middle of making a point, and they stood up and said, I have something I need to say right now. Interrupted him. They have a problem with him. Can't you see that? So when they interrupted him, it says that they were upset about the things that he was doing. It says, do these things. Can I just put quotes around that? That's not very specific, wouldn't you say? I have a problem with some things that you're doing. Okay? What are you talking about? You know? If you have a problem with me, what is the thing that you're talking about? Well, it could be that Jesus, in the first part of our chapter, has just come in, and he is teaching, right? And they're not familiar with his style of teaching. In fact, it bothers them a little bit. And his ways, you know, his practices are a little unorthodox, wouldn't you say? I mean, a guy who's blind, he can see now. That's a different way of, practicing the ministry. And so now people are able to see. But not just his miracles and what he is teaching. You know what bugged them the most? Well, two things. Number one, he comes into the temple and starts flipping the tables over. You know why he did that? Let's just be reminded. Because, he told us, you've made this place into a den of what? Thieves. The operations of the house of God, by the way, the operations of our life, you've made it into something that's corrupt. Wrong motives. Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, because. By the way, weren't they operating the church a little bit like a business? Right? Yeah. Like revenue, income, outgo, you know, things like that. And so Jesus had a problem with that. So he flipped the tables over. These scribes, the Pharisees, the religious zealots here, they're watching. And they're thinking, whoa, where is this guy coming from? He drives everybody out. And it bugged them. It really bugged them. They had a real problem with it. And so they started to question his authority. So, who gave you the authority to do this? Listen, what makes you think you can come into the temple, by the way, my temple, our temple? What makes you think, Jesus, you can come in here and you can just start throwing tables over and driving people out? What makes you think you can do that? Because, you know, we didn't give you the authority to do this. Doesn't it imply that? That they had a problem with him because they're not the ones that gave him the authority. Now, for the rabbi, there was, you know, certain sayings. And One of the sayings in Rabbinism is this, that authoritative teaching required previous authorization. That's right out of the Talmud right there. So let me say it again. Authoritative teaching. If you get up and you tell people authoritatively to do something, then you have to have a source. What is your source? Where are you getting your information? Where are you getting your authority? Well, Jesus didn't teach that way, did he? What, remember in Matthew 7, those of you who've been around for, you know, back when we were in chapter 7, probably over a year ago, anyway. In chapter 7, Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, in my opinion, the greatest sermon ever preached by any human ever. The Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7. You should study it and read it. It's a great, great sermon by Christ. In the end of the chapter, he closes the sermon, and it says that everybody that was there, the multitudes, observed Jesus after he taught, and here's what they said. Watch close. In Matthew 7, don't turn there. In verse 29, here's what they said. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Do you know what that means? That means Jesus was teaching, but he had no source. Now, when I teach you, right now I'm teaching you, and I hope you're listening, but I'm not teaching you from my own authority, because I have no authority in my own self. All of my teaching, which is why you should follow along in your Bible, all of my authority comes straight from this book. So I'm teaching you exactly what it says. I'm teaching you exactly what it means. Or at least that's what my job is to do, is to teach you the Bible. My authority comes from here. Jesus didn't do that. He taught from his own authority. He was the authority behind what he said, particularly in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so those that were there, they were astonished. They said, whoa, this guy's teaching with authority, but not like the scribes who taught from a source. And so Jesus had his own authority. And whenever these scribes and these Pharisees and all these guys of the religious realm came to Jesus and they questioned his authority, they're wanting to know, where did he get his authority to say and to do what he has done? And sometimes that's the way that it is with you and I. And what I mean by that is we get this sort of hang up about the man of God, you know, that's in our life. And it bugs us sometimes what he does. It bugs us what he says in his message, you know. And we'll hear the Bible teaching, won't we? And sometimes when we hear the Bible preaching, it'll step on our toes. And it'll hurt our feelings, maybe. It might even offend us. And it rubs us wrong. Sometimes not just the preaching or the teaching, the message itself. Sometimes it's the programs that the pastor sort of promotes and does. Well, what about this? And what about that? And why are we doing this? And why are we doing that? And so we have these things that, you know, the man of God decides to do to go forward. And whenever we are exposed to those things, it might be, watch this, that a problem sort of happens in us. We start having this problem with the man of God because of what he says at times and because of what he does. So then what does it do? It causes us to question what he's doing. Like, it causes us to question his authority over us in our life. And we might say something like this. Well, who gives him the right to say that? Or, why would he do that? You know? And these types of questions start to come up, and they imply that in our life, whenever we're asking questions of the authority or the man of God, now listen close, I'm referring to the man of God over us, and we question what he says or what he does, here's basically what we're saying in us. That what he's doing or saying goes against my preconceived ideas about that thing or that particular part of ministry. So I think it should go this way, and the pastor or the man of God is doing it this way, and it bugs us, okay? And so as we, you know, get irritated by those things, we start to have this problem, and we're questioning him. Why? Because we have a problem with him. Listen, if you didn't have a problem with the man of God, if you had no problem with him, then you probably wouldn't ask questions about what he does or doesn't do. Now, let me say something here, because I think there's something that needs to be qualified about this. I'm not talking about a guy who's not really a man of God, or a guy who gets up and claims to be the man of God, but he's not the man of God. Listen, the man of God has very specific qualifications. He's given those responsibilities, as we'll see, from God. His responsibility is to teach the Bible, to proclaim the Bible, and to hold true to the Scripture. And so we have a man of God who is purposed to do that. But we have a problem, maybe, with something he does or doesn't do. And so we'll question that. It just simply means we have a problem. Now, God, I want you to get this. God would give us an understanding of his authority over us in our life if we would recognize that the man of God actually gets his authority from heaven. Jesus promised, now please listen, he promised these religious guys that he would tell them where he got his authority if they would just tell him and be honest with him about the question that they're going to, that he's going to ask about John the Baptist's authority. Look what he says in verse 24. He says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you of what authority I do these things." The baptism of John. So whence was it? Did he get his, John the Baptist, did he get his authority from heaven or from men? So Jesus promised, didn't he? He promised these guys, hey, listen, I will tell you where I get my authority. I will. But you need to answer this question for me. John the Baptist. Now, we all remember him, right? Yeah. Where did he get his authority? From heaven? Or did he get it from men? So you need to be honest about this. And if you are honest and willing to admit that you understand that John the Baptist got his authority from heaven, then here's what I'll do for you. I will help you to understand the authority that I have to do and to say what I'm saying. So here's what God is saying. Listen, in our life, we at times have a problem with the man of God. We do. We just do. It happens. And we start to question why he said this, why he does that, why he doesn't do this, and why he didn't say this. And these questions start going on in our mind. Why we're doing things the way we're doing it. Okay? The questions are there. Here's what God promises us. Promise. Like, write it down. God will sign it. He will help you understand why we do what we do. If we, this morning, will admit that the man of God gets his authority from heaven. Yeah. He doesn't get his own authority from himself. His authority is from heaven. But we have to be willing to admit it. We have to be willing to say, yeah, the guy who, you know, preaches the Bible and he teaches and he really is very authoritative in what he says sometimes, it's almost like he's telling me what to do. Does he really have the right to do that? It gets kind of personal sometimes. Remember what I said, stomping on the toes? What's that mean even? Well, that means the man of God gets like in your yard and he tells you where you are. Maybe he talks a little bit about some sins that you're doing and that it's sin. And that you shouldn't do it. And there are some things in your life that shouldn't be there, but also some things that should be in your life that aren't there. That's kind of personal stuff. Question. Where does he get the authority to do that? Well, it comes from the denomination, right? Nope. You know, I don't have authority to tell you because you're sitting in a Baptist church because I'm a Baptist pastor. Nope. That's not where I get my authority. And a true man of God who has authority doesn't get it from a denomination. I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago who wanted to know really what we are. You know, well, what kind of Baptist are you? Are you this kind of Baptist? Are you that kind of Baptist? Or that or this? Listen, we are a Bible preaching, Bible teaching, independent Baptist church. You know what that means? There's no umbrella of a denominational thing that is sort of like we're like a puppet in the arms of this denomination. It doesn't work that way because that's not biblical. We are an independent Baptist church, and we're not rogue. I mean, we have a mother church in St. Joe, well, that really sent us, and you know, as we sort of restart and Lord willing, have seen God do great miracle in this place, but revitalize and bring the church back to life. So we're carrying authority. It's not like we just decided one day, I'm just going to be, you know, Acts chapter 13, God sent us and now we're here. He sent us out of a good church to do this. It's like the birth of a child, the birth of a church. It has nothing to do with like a business or a umbrella sort of governmental type denominational thing. That's not how it works. Or it's not supposed to work that way. So where do we get our authority? Well, the right answer is from heaven. And that's why the man of God, if he is a man of God, has the right to preach and teach and issue and start programs and ministries and do this and do that and say this and say that. And not say this and not say that and not do this and not do that. Because the authority to do that comes from heaven, doesn't come from a denomination at all. And so we hear these, you know, these questions from these guys, or rather from Jesus. Okay, I will answer your question. I will tell you where I get my authority. If you will be willing to admit that John the Baptist, by the way, John the Baptist, God, he's a man of God. Where did he get his authority? Now, John the Baptist was not Jesus, obviously. He's just a man of God. So where did he get his authority to do what he did? And then if you are willing to admit he got it from heaven, then I'll tell you where I got my authority. But you know what happens whenever you have a problem with the man of God? You don't respect him. And because you don't respect him, you're not going to be admitting that he has authority. And so then your opinion of him isn't based upon his authority at all. Oh, listen, please. The opinion of the man of God then becomes based upon this. Well, what do the people around me think? Because then the people around us, whether it's family or friends, they sort of, in our minds, help us to determine how we feel. And so these men did not respect the authority of John the Baptist. They didn't respect Jesus. They did not respect John the Baptist. And their only concern at this point in answering this question is how their response would affect them in front of the crowd. That was it. Notice 25. So Jesus asked the question. They reasoned with themselves. And they said, well, okay, if we say that his authority is from heaven, then here's what Jesus will say to us. Then why didn't you believe him? So we can't say his authority is from heaven. But if we say that his authority is from men, in other words, he has no authority, from God anyway, then we fear the people because the people will think that he's a prophet. And they hold to John the Baptist as a prophet. And so they reasoned about their response. You know why? Because they didn't respect John the Baptist. And the word to reason, it means to revolve in their mind. So they deliberated about how they would respond. John the Baptist, where does he get his authority? Oh, well, we can't say that he has authority from heaven. So it's just bouncing around in their mind. They're reasoning. That's what it means. It just revolves in their mind. And you can almost see their eyes turning and their wheels just spinning. They're trying to figure out, well, what are we going to say? Well, we can't say he gets his authority from heaven. You know, we can't say that. By the way, they hated John the Baptist. You know why? Because John the Baptist called them vipers and hypocrites. Go to Matthew chapter 3. You can check that out later, 1 through 12. Just mark it down. Read it. Because these guys are likely there. As John the Baptist says, hey, why are you here, vipers and hypocrites? That doesn't make friends very often, does it? But they got angry at him. More than likely, they hated him. So Jesus brings up John the Baptist, and they don't have good feelings towards that. But we can't say that we believe he got his authority from heaven. But at the same time, we're concerned about the crowd. What if I say, oh, I hate John the Baptist. I hate that guy. Oh, man, were you back there, you know, a couple years ago whenever he was in the, you know, in this region and he was preached, called us vipers? Remember that? Oh, I hate that guy. They can't say that. Because there's a crowd of people there that love John the Baptist. And they're afraid of the crowd. So what are they going to do? I mean, we're kind of in a rock and a hard spot here. Because if we say, oh, this is very good. If we say that that we believe his authority is from heaven, what is Jesus going to say to us? Well, why didn't you do what he said? If you believe he came from heaven, then why didn't you obey him? Good question. Well, we can't say that. But if we say that he has no authority and his authority is just from men and he's not from God, then we might get stoned by the people because they think he's a prophet, which means a messenger from God. That's what they think he is, a messenger straight from God to us to tell us the truth about God. And so we're afraid. So I'm not really sure what we're going to say is really as their reasoning. And listen, it's the same with us. When we don't respect the man of God, then we won't want to admit his authority in our life. We'll look at the authority of the man of God and we'll decide if the man of God has authority in our life. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road with us. And it brings us back to the authority problems that some of us here might have. You know, the man of God, you want me to tell you if he has authority? He has authority in my life if I let him. And if I don't let the man of God have authority in my life, then he has no authority. I decide. So we have this decision that we make, and we're the ones who decide if he has authority. And we want to admit that his authority is in our life, or rather that he has authority in our life. Whenever we have this attitude, then it will create in us an opinion of him that only is affected by who we're around. Let me explain this. If our opinion of the man, if we're the ones who decide if he has authority, please, I'm not getting on to anybody this morning. I'm just trying to teach you the Word of God. So if we have a problem with him, and he only has authority in our life personally, if we let him have authority in our life, then what we think about the man of God will be determined by the crowd that we hang out with. Let me explain. You can't really, if you're in this crowd, you'll have a hard time. If you do have a problem with authority or admitting that he has authority, then you'll probably have a problem saying something like this. The man of God has authority in my life from heaven. Straight from heaven, he has authority in my life. You'll have a hard time admitting that. Why? Because then it'll come back at you. Then why don't you do what he says? Then if he preaches on tithing, why don't you do that? If he preaches on going to church faithfully, why don't you do that? You know? So sometimes in our life, it starts to open up to us our real feelings about authority of the man of God. That it might be this morning that the man of God only has authority in your life if you let him. And then the crowd that you're around really determines. And you don't want to say he has no authority in my life and I don't have to do what the man of God says. You don't really want to admit that, because then how will that make you look? It'll make you look like, wow, what a doofus. You know, the pastor, the man of God has no authority in your life? Yeah, no authority in my life. I don't even like him, you know. In fact, I don't like him at all, you know. So you're, depending on the crowd you're hanging around, you might not want to say that either. So now you're in a rock and a hard spot, right? So what do we say? Well, what did they say? Because that's exactly how they are. Look at our verse number, 27. They answered Jesus and said, oh, we can't tell. And he said to them, well, then neither will I tell you what authority I do these things. So they wouldn't admit that John the Baptist had any authority from heaven, and we already know why. But they said it, the reason why is because they lacked the ability to know. Now I want you to catch you how ridiculous this is. A guy has been teaching and preaching and really just sort of laying it out there, very clear. And it's like we've seen miracles. We have seen some things through John the Baptist that we have never seen. And remember what Nicodemus said? He said, oh, you are from heaven, speaking of Jesus. How do we know he's from heaven? Because no man doeth the things that thou doest, unless God is with him. And so we see the work of the man of God, and we see what God is doing through the man of God, but because we don't want to admit he has authority over in our life personally, we don't want to say, well, we don't think he has any authority, because that'll make us look bad. We don't want to say he has authority from heaven in our life, because then we'll look bad because we don't do what he says. So here's what we'll say. You know, I don't really know about the authority of the man of God. That's a good question. somebody says, hey, what kind of authority does the man of God have in your life? I don't really know. I have no idea. Now, it might be this morning that you really don't know. And that's a genuine answer. I don't know what authority he has in my life. But after this message, you won't be able to say that. Because the man of God gets authority in your life from heaven. He doesn't get it from himself. It comes straight from God. The man of God has not only the right, but the responsibility to tell you when you're doing right and when you're doing wrong. He has to. And his authority to do that doesn't come from himself. It comes from heaven. If he is a man of God. However, if we this morning are not willing to admit that, if you're here this morning and you say, well, I don't really know, and it's just an excuse, I don't really know if the man of God has authority, or I don't really know how much authority he has, or, you know, I don't really know. I don't think I understand that completely. Then here's what Jesus said. He said, then I'm not going to tell you. I am not going to tell you where I get my authority. What's that mean? Here's what it means. If we're not willing to admit that God's man has authority in our life, then we're not going to hear from God, period. You can come to church from now to the day ends, like not just the day, like the day and age, like till we all go to, you know, until this earth burns up. You'll not hear from God. Why? Why is that? Because, listen, the authority, this authority issue is a big deal. And people have such a problem with authority. Why? Because nobody wants anybody to tell them what to do. And it's unusual to me that in society, like, we could leave these doors. And by the way, again, can I say again, I'm not pointing fingers anymore. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says this morning, okay? And I love you desperately. I just want to help you. And by the way, I'm not putting my, this is a hard message for me to do. That's why I'm glad we're doing exposition, just going through the book of Matthew, and God determines the subject, okay? But, because I don't have an agenda or a platform here, I just trying to teach the Bible. But listen, why is it so easy for us to leave the church and submit to our boss and submit to the law enforcement whenever it comes to the laws, you know, that we won't speed and do the things that, you know, that the law determines, because that's our authorities, right? Our boss, law enforcement, the government. I mean, there's authority that has been put over us by God to protect us. But when it comes to the pastor or the man of God, I'll determine if he has authority in my life. And I determine it based upon how I feel about what he says to do or not do. How he encourages me from the Word of God, or what, you know, what he teaches, what he doesn't teach, what he does. Programs like ministries, like, why are we doing this? Or why are we doing that? Or why don't we do this? And why don't we do that? I think, you know, I don't know about this guy, this pastor, this man of God. And it starts to create in us this attitude. The problem that we have, not with, ooh, get this, not with the man of God. Your problem isn't with the man of God. It's with authority. The authority that comes from God in your life. And so this morning, I think the encouragement is simple, or at least I hope it is. Definitely not trying to put my thumb down on anybody. Boy, if you ever feel that way, let's have a talk in my office, because I want to encourage you. And I want you to know that I love you. And I'm not going to come into your, I'm not going to knock on your door. Yeah. That's all you were doing the other day. And we need to have a talk about it. I don't work like that, okay? I love you. And I'll pull you aside. I'll preach the Word of God. Sometimes I might know personally what you're going through because, hello, I love you and we spend time together. So I know a little bit about you. And so I might want to encourage a little bit along that way. But from the bottom of my heart, I'm not going to stand up here and just preach about your sin because of you. Oh, good, they're here because I did this message just for them. I don't do that. And so we'll have conversations, and I'll try to encourage you, I'll try to teach you, I'll try to lead you and help you along the way. But this church is not a business, and we're not going to operate that way. And the man of God is not the CEO, and we're not going to operate that way. We're going to preach the Bible. We're going to teach the Bible. We're going to do things that God wants us to do. We're not going to do things that I don't feel like God doesn't want us to do. We're going to go the way that I feel like God wants us to go because I'm seeking God about it. I'm trying to get leadership from Him about the specific things. Some things we will do because the Bible says so. Like, we're going to operate in baptism this way. We're going to do Lord's table this way. We're going to do other, you know, ordinances, or rather those two ordinances or any other operating thing exactly like the Bible says. And then there's other things we'll do just because, like go to camp and like have youth night and like have a barbecue thing, you know, or this or that, or little programs that we'll do along the way. We'll start a youth ministry, like a youth group. We'll start a children's ministry. Where's that in the Bible? Well, maybe it's not there. Maybe it's that God leads us and leads through the pastor, through the man of God, that we might do the things that God wants us to do. And so what does God want us to do? Well, He wants us by faith to trust the man of God and go forward as our authority from heaven. But whenever we start having a problem and we question that authority, then what'll happen is, you know, that window of heaven that opens up and then dumps the blessings out, and we hear from God and it's like, oh, this is great. It starts to close in our life, doesn't it? And we won't hear from Him like we should because we're not willing to admit that the man of God, He has authority. I want to be a man of God. I do. I don't want to be a joker that's all about me, money, and all that stuff. I want to teach you the Bible. And if you have a problem, listen, I'm not minimizing that at times we have problems with things. But let's talk about it, and let's get past it. Let's not allow these things that are problems begin to sort of boil inside of us so that we start having questions about the authority of the man of God. And here's what will happen. The windows of heaven will open. God will dump out blessings, and His blessing will be on this church and on this ministry, and lights out. Watch out. Here we go. Fall City. Amen? That's the way it should be. This is a mentality that's in society today, and it's being carried into the church. It's called a corporate mentality. This is not a business. It's God's house, and He's the one who gives authority and determines how we operate. Father, this morning we love You, and we're just so thrilled about Your word. And God, I don't know really the right way to say it this morning. I feel such a challenge to say and preach this message. I just don't want to come across as egotistic or arrogant, but Lord, at the same time, such an important, Lord, principle for us to understand. I pray for our church that You'll, Lord, help us to be submissive, not to a king or somebody who is sort of like a dictator, but God, just a man of God who tries to lead according to Your word. I pray Your help. Help us to have a good attitude and a good mind, a good mindset in relationship to Your authorities. And God, we know that as we admit that in our life, that You will then begin to open up Yourself unto us. We praise You for that, and we thank You for the teaching of Your word. Be with us as we have invitation work in the hearts of Your people this morning. Amen.